You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 6:07 in the morning. You are on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of The Voice, local news and talk. It's the old tax day, April 15th. Old. But we still brought in Brian Watson from the IRS. He'll be here at 7:37. Tom has brought in all his receipts and his old Tom McCann shoeboxes from the old days. Do we still have Tom McCanns out there? Or am I really dating myself?
I don't think we do.
They used to be everywhere. Even my little town on Long Island, we had a little Tom McCann, for God's sake. So I don't know where they are now. We'll have to. I'm sure they're being, you know, made in Bangladesh and, you know, high quality sweatshop.
It's going to come back because everything old is new again. So
thank you very much.
80s retro.
We do have Ryan Larson, the sports intern. We'll talk about the hiring of the new U of A basketball coach, the assistant from Gonzaga. I thought that Greg Hansen added some pretty good insight on why this guy is a great fit. And at the same time, a little bit more on why or the hows of Sean Miller being a miserable young man. We just had this weird, trend at the U of A to hire miserable people, you know, between Rich Rod, Sumlin, and Sean Miller. That's a lot of miserableness. And I was having this discussion with a longtime Tucsonan on the way in, and we're like, I always bring up Gordon Ramsay, the English chef, not in the American version of Kitchen Nightmares because it's a little too overproduced and dramatic, and they have that great sound effect that goes swing, kind of thing. But the English one, he always talked about serve your neighborhood as a restaurant, right? If you really concentrate on marketing and taking care of the people within two square miles radius of your place, through thick and thin, they'll get you through. And I think the U of A at times always forgets that, right, is to serve your neighborhood. On the academic side, they get enough people from outside and these out-of-state students that they can academically, they act like the Vatican, right? There's this invisible wall on, you know, 6 Campbell Speedway and Euclid, and if something else happens outside, they go, oh, there's something going on out there. But in sports, it was the idea that you had Rich Rod, Sean Miller, Kevin Sumlin, the coaches of your premier, your top two sports, supposedly, thinking, oh, you guys don't really, we don't need to mix with the dirty Tucsonans. And then they're like, hey, bro, why don't you buy our tickets? So hopefully Jed Fish and Mr. Lloyd get the hint. Tom, am I selling this right?
No, I think so, because there's certain programs in college sports where it doesn't matter if you're a miserable cuss or whatever. Kentucky basketball, they don't care. They just want to win. They
just
want to
win, baby.
Alabama football, Nick Saban, kind of a miserable cuss most of the time, at least, you know, outwardly. But it doesn't matter. Alabama wants to win. Arizona wants to win. Don't get me wrong. But Tucson community matters.
Yep.
And I think that you're right. They kind of lose sight of that sometimes. Just win, baby, does not apply here.
Correct. And it's a tough place to win, right? It's not a major city. It's a nice campus. It's, you know, I'm sure they have fine facilities in relation to the arms war of, you know, no one's at the level of probably the California schools or what Oregon's built and, you know, space age athletic training centers and all that stuff. But I think they have very nice facilities for such things. But at the same time, man, you know, what are you going to be when you grow up? Right. And in the end, we've always said Tucson is a place where either you're someone who comes here because you're on the way up and going to go to a bigger market, or you're at the end of your crap. And we've sad to say, and that doesn't even matter age-wise. Rich Rod and Kevin Sumlin, we've learned, even at their age, they were at the end of their ride. And we got guys at the end of their ride. We have to stop doing that. And Sean Miller was on his way up when he got here. He just turned out to be that he was doing enough excellence that people would ignore him being a miserable young man. And this is where we're at. So I hope Coach Lloyd's a turn-the-page kind of thing. So, all right, so we got Larson, Schweikert, the IRS, And then Shelley Kice, who's the head of the Pima GOP, will be here. Love talking to Shelley. She's got a plan, and she is running with it. And she's very analytical. She's a total pro. And I am thrilled that she is the new chairwoman of the GOP. I love Dave Eppenheimer. Don't get me wrong. Great guy. But I think she's the right person at the right time right now. We're going to talk about one of the key voting blocks for the Democrats that's pushing away on a topic that you wouldn't expect it, but that's what's going on. We might play a minute and a half. I haven't sent it to Tom yet. It's the Washington Free Beacon did a great compilation of all the contradictory crap that's fallen out of Dr. Fauci's mouth, which I love. We have Tucson police searching for an individual and a possible sexual assault at the University of Arizona. We got to get to that. We're going to talk about the revised sex ed rules that got passed at the state legislature. And I when I read it of what it says, and then I see the pushback, I kind of keep going, what are we doing here? Tucson's charter, 1929 charter holds up in court again. We'll talk about that. We got to get to Kelly Ward. And the reason why I want to get to Kelly Ward is, some people sent me some screenshots of some of the things he has said to Bill Beard, Bill number one, on his Facebook page. I just want to ask you if you feel this is the right way to go for the husband of the person running the GOP. And then we got free admission to Arizona Park, National Parks. We'll talk about that as a little heads up for your weekend planning. And then tomorrow will be Uber fun. Uber fun tomorrow. We have Ron Arenas, Picture Rocks Heating and Cooling. I just had Ron's son out checking out my AC for upcoming summer heat. Rocco from Rocco's Little Chicago. Mark Van Buren is going to make me very happy tomorrow. Top 10 all time Christopher Walken movies. Wow. So that's going to be great. Sean McCluskey will be here. And we're figuring out whether or not it's in studio or call-in, but we're looking pretty good for a lady named Adia Barnes, the coach of the women's basketball team, to be here 8:30 tomorrow to finish off. So I can't figure a better way to finish off my week than Rocco, Van Buren, Christopher Walken, McCluskey, and Adia, and Ron all on the same Friday. That's a hell of a way to finish, as we like to say. So let's go to break. Let's visit some of our great sponsors here at KVOI. You're on 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. So we have some good friends of the show up in Marana, and they know I'm a prog rock guy, right? They just don't understand why I don't get into Jethro Tull. Right? Like, we don't play enough Tull. And I sit there and I go, it's not that I don't like Tull. I just never got into Tull. So, Greg and Kim, you know, mea culpa. So, I don't know why you, where are you on Tull?
I don't like Jethro Tull.
Sorry.
That's one man's opinion.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Do we already need Sideshow Bob?
No, it's not an it's not an evil laugh. Just want to give everyone the definition of apostate, right? A person who renounces a religious or political belief or principle, right? Listener Kevin sent us an email at wakeuptucsoncomments, Tom. It says Jethro Tull on the subject line, and it just says apostates. So, Tom, we were talking about it when we were getting our Filthy Pirate today. What kind of Filthy Pirate coffee we got today?
We are still on the... So, I've actually gone double barrel this morning because I've done both already, the Sangrenel at home and the Cutlass now here at work.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Don't cross the streams.
I did, but the streams are delicious. We're still working our way through that, but I believe we do have some more Sangrenel in the hopper in the rotation to come yet.
So remember, Filthy Pirate sells you the coffee stuff to make at home. A lot of you are showing up going, hey bro, isn't this like a Starbucks? No, it's not like a Starbucks. He's making bold coffee, low acid, in various forms. You can get it in your K-cups. You can get it at any way you want. Beans, grind, he'll do it. And he has samples of everything. So after you go to like Bon Dictit or something, or IQ for some great Bon Mi or some noodles or something, head over there. Dan will make you a beautiful sample cup and take some stuff home. He's got great shirts and swag to take home too. He's playing up the pirate, of course.
Yes. And you know what's awesome, Chris, is I challenge any of the listeners who are like low acid, what difference does it make? Switch coffees for a week.
Right.
And then just go drive through anywhere that you usually, I don't care if it's Dunkin', McDonald's, Starbucks, wherever, and drink that. After you've done this for a solid week, you notice an instant difference.
Correct.
Instant.
I mean, it's Starbucks is the ultimate in the burn your face off acid tang to it. You know what I mean? Especially that their house blend is nasty. So when I go there, if I get stuck at Starbucks, like I'm in an airport, like that's the only place I got a coffee, I get their blonde roast because it's the least skanky to me, right? But their best coffee is their Italian roast at Starbucks. So if they don't have it already pumped, tell them you want to pour over on the Italian. That's the way to go. I'm just telling you. So when in doubt, when you're trapped at this, you know, some airport and you only got a Starbucks, get a blonde roast or a pour over of the Italian. Just tell you. Back to Jethro Tull. So you and I were just talking. We'll talk about this Tucson crap soon, I promise. All right.
Not going anywhere.
Jethro Tull. Tom and I. Okay. Explain what you first said about them playing the Renaissance Fair Festival.
So I didn't think you were going to call me out on this one. But so to me, Jethro Tull is that band that was hanging out at the Renaissance Festival. They played like 5 years in a row. And then we're sitting around one night and went, what happens if we plug in?
Right.
What happens if we get amps and electric guitars?
Amps.
This is what happens. You have Jethro Tull. I never got into the sound. I'm not big on the flute as your lead instrument.
Right.
I never got into it.
My thing too is what I was saying is there's no other than the Aqualung opener. Right. There's nothing. I can't think of a memorable riff that gets stuck in my head on any of their tunes.
Yeah.
So, hey, look, different strokes for different folks. This is what we love about music, right? You know, some of you are like, why are you listening to that crap? Because I like it, and you listen to your crap. That's what the beauty of music. So, but Tom and I don't get it.
No, you know, actually, since I've already given you my Renaissance Festival line, I feel like you could take the scene from Spinal Tap with the dancing dwarf around the foot-high Stonehenge and just lay that over any Tull track, and it could be the music video for it.
Okay. Where the demons dwell, where the pipes of Pan. Anyway,
nice.
We've now, all of our Tull fans are now just shut off their radio.
Oh, they have. We've gone to plaid.
All right. So as you know, it might be an overriding theme on this show is the growing crime problem in Tucson, Arizona, while we have a decreasing police problem. And I think one of the parts of our interview with Lucy yesterday, LaBosha, that was you could tell that she's not used to not talking in her circle of liberals. Okay. Because when we were asked about cops and police funding, she said that, you know, we talk about Joe and I used to kid around, Higgins and I used to kid around about dog whistle. It's a dog whistle. When she said reimagine policing, that kind of means defund police. Now the one thing is, well, let's go to, I want to get to, let's get the Tull. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go up to Bill, number two, in his bunker up in the OV. All right, Bill, welcome to Tull Talk.
Do you have me?
I got you now, buddy.
Okay, good. Well, I just, you know, had one comment on the Tull story.
Was it Tom talking about how they played Renaissance festivals?
Well, mine sort of fits in there to a certain degree. So I'm in Hawaii in the early 70s, and a bunch of my Navy buddies said, we're going to go down to a concert. It's Jethro Tull. I didn't know who Jethro Tull was or anything, so I said, I would go. So, you know, it's rock, you know, big-time rock and all that, and the Hawaii Center, and we get ready, and what did they get? The lead-off band guy, I can't remember who that was or anything, But Jethro Tull comes out, and he's in tights and a flute. And I'm going, this is rock and roll? That was different.
So,
yeah. And I just couldn't get over the fact that we got a rocker out there in tights and a flute, but it was actually quite fun, you know. So good concert.
Can you name two?
No. All right, guys. Well, let somebody else call.
Thanks, buddy. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to John on line two. John, welcome to Tell Talk.
Hey, how you doing this morning? And having been married to almost 40 years to a flute player.
Hold on. Yeah. Hold your freaking horses. The beautiful Anne is a flautist?
She was indeed in her high school band days.
Yes.
Went a couple years at Sal Point in the marching band there playing the flute.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was interesting. Now, my comment was about Tull, though. They played here 50 years ago. I mean, that gives you an idea how far, you know, they've actually managed to keep the audience together behind their music. And they used to play at a place called the Tucson Sports Center. It was over about where the El Mercado is on Congress now.
We've talked about that with a couple of concerts with Sloaney, right, on some of his country concerts. I feel like when Sloan tells the story, I'm trying to remember, the one where he had George Jones, right? And he's at the football game. It's one of the best. It's one of the best wakey stories ever, right? So real quick.
Yeah.
So Hall of Fame country music radio guy Jim Sloan's on the show. He books George Jones, and I think at that Tucson Sport, or was it Tucson Gardens?
Tucson Gardens.
It was Tucson Gardens.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to finish the story real quick. So what happens is George Jones is notorious for being drunk and never showing up to stuff. Jim's at the BYU Arizona football game, and at halftime he goes, I don't know, it felt weird. So he went over, put a dime in the phone, that's what you did in those days, and calls over to the Tucson Gardens, and George did not show up, and they're about to burn the place down. So that's one of
right.
So anyway, back to Jethro Tull, sorry.
Yeah, anyway, but they played at this converted supermarket over on Congress, and they actually had a pretty decent following here. They got a good turnout, even though they weren't commercially, top 40 music and all like that. You know, he showed up on the early days of that underground station at KWFM way back when. The days when Ed was there.
So gotcha. Okay.
We're going back a long ways on that. And they did okay. It was a good show and good following, and for a supermarket, not bad.
Awesome. John, thanks for sharing some Tull love with us. I appreciate
sure,
it, sir.
Sure thing. Have a great one.
Say hi to the flautist for me.
I will do that. Thank you.
All right. Hey, our buddy Margo just sent me a text message. It says Jethro Tull, and then it has a dash, and then it has the emoji that's she sent the vomiting emoji for Jethro Tull. Who knew this is going to be such a
polarizing
polarizing talk here. Polarizing Tull talk here at 10:30 The Voice. If you'd like to opine on Jethro Tull, 790-2040 is the phone number. We're going to talk about the new hire at the U of A coming up with the sports intern. Wake up. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. It's Al, one of Tucson's premier pool maintainers and cleaners, his business, him and Liz's 40th anniversary. So then I said, Tom, I said, we should play him a song. And I go, he cleans pools, so see you love. And then you said he has requested this song in the past.
Yes.
So
it's perfect.
Happy anniversary to Liz and Al, man. Now, before we get to Larson, remember yesterday about my headphone jack? I put it in and it magically worked and I didn't have to mess with it. And I said either Ray fixed it or it was luck, right? And we thought maybe it was luck. Ray did come out of did tell me yesterday he actually fixed it.
Oh,
so
nice.
So after doing a show for 12 years, the squeaky wheel did get a little grease. So look at us. Look at us. Let's go right to the phones. Ryan J. Larson. Our college student / best unpaid intern in America and better than pretty much 97% of everyone on ESPN. Ryan Larson, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. What does the J stand for? I'm curious.
Jehoshaphat.
Oh, you nailed it. How did you know?
I know your parents. Very old school.
Yeah, very.
All right, tell me about this this Lloyd guy the U of A coached. We hired yesterday.
All right, so the Arizona basketball coaching search ended last night. They hired Tommy Lloyd out of Gonzaga. He's been Gonzaga's assistant head coach for the last 20 years. And he was the favorite from the job, basically, from the moment that Sean Miller was fired. And what you need to know about Lloyd is he's been with Gonzaga since 2000. He's Mark Few's go-to guy for basically everything within the program. And he also has a really good reputation as a recruiter. That's probably what he's best known for in college basketball circles, is his ability to recruit, and especially his ability to recruit nationally. Gonzaga has become pretty well known for bringing in international prospects, some of them well known, some of them not so well known, and turning them into NBA players. He's done that with guys like Kelly Olynyk, DeMontis Sabonis, and a bunch of other guys at Gonzaga. He's been really successful at recruiting from the international ranks. And Arizona right now has 7 players with international ties on their roster alone. So Arizona has shown that they like to go and get international guys. Sean Miller did it. Lloyd should be able to keep that pipeline going of bringing in good international players. But he's also been a really good domestic recruiter as well. Gonzaga this year is in line to get the number one recruit in all of college basketball for the first time in program history. And Lloyd is largely credited with recruiting this player. His name is Chet Holmgren. And he is extremely good, and Lloyd has been his main recruiter for most of the process. And so from a recruiting perspective, Lloyd is very well respected, should do great things at Arizona with all the resources that U of A has to bring in new players. Now, the question is his coaching ability, which we don't know as much about because he's been the assistant to Mark Few. We haven't seen him as a head coach in the college ranks. And so he is very well respected on the West Coast. Gonzaga has obviously been the best team in the West for the last decade plus. So he should be able to come in, get a lot of respect from players that he's recruiting, and he should be able to build up Arizona again pretty quickly, you would think. Now, what he can do on the court and with alumni, we shall see, because a lot of Arizona basketball players, former players like Richard Jefferson, Gilbert Arenas, were pretty unhappy with the way this coaching search has gone. They wanted somebody with close Arizona ties. They wanted someone from Arizona's glory days, like Damon Stoudemire was the name a lot of these former players have been throwing around. But ultimately, Arizona goes with Lloyd and his recruiting expertise and the experience that he's had working for Mark Few the last 20 years in Gonzaga.
So Greg Hansen in the Arizona Daily Star, who's one of the few people that's worth a crap over there anymore, wrote a great column, I thought, today. And so here's a quote from Lloyd. Quote, at Gonzaga, we enjoy players creating rather than put them in a strict system where they just run plays. The control factor of so many United States coaches almost ends up inhibiting them, unquote. And what Greg says, haven't we seen too much control by Sean Miller over the last 12 years? Haven't we witnessed too many Wildcats leave campus, quote, broken? So,
Yeah, I think that's fair. You look at what Sean Miller has done. He brings in these highly rated guys who are expected to be top 10 draft picks, and then they kind of fall off, end up not getting drafted as high, don't really produce at the level they expect. Meanwhile, Mark Few and his staff at Gonzaga, they've brought in a lot of great players and made them even better to where they are lottery draft picks. And Tommy Lloyd and that staff has shown the ability to develop players in a way that works for them and plays to their strengths rather than forcing them to conform to some Gonzaga system that ends up ruining their careers.
The other quote on Lloyd I liked in this article, Fred Christensen, he's a Sabino High grad, U of A grad. He's been ESPN Senior Director of Programming. He spent a season with him doing the March to Madness 2015-2016 documentary. You can still catch it on HBO Max or Amazon Prime. Here's a big quote. Coach Few and Lloyd restored my faith in humanity. I developed a close relationship with Coach Lloyd that continues to this day. He is the salt of the earth, the best recruiter in the country, the unsung hero of Gonzaga's success. In all my years, I'm not sure I've met anyone that I have more respect for, unquote. So
it's a great quote.
I think it's a good hire. And I think of all the ex Wildcats, right, that, you know, whether Gilbert Arenas was, you know, was moaning about a little bit. Probably the only guy really was Pastner, don't you agree? Would have been.
I think Pastner would have been the most qualified for the job. He's the guy with the most experience. I mean, David Stoudemire has done good things at Pacific in the last few years as the head coach there. But when you're bringing someone on board at Arizona, a program with a little bit higher expectations than most, you want somebody with experience, someone who's had success on a staff at a big-time program. And I think it's telling from that quote you just had said about Lloyd that Mark Few and that staff have turned Gonzaga into a national powerhouse, and they have pretty much been scandal-free that entire time. They're well-liked. They're well-respected. And when you're coming into U of A where there could potentially be more sanctions to the program, you could have players leaving, you could have more issues coming down from the NCAA, you want a coach who's going to be respected, who's going to be able to clean up the program and make it through any potential issues that are going to come in the next few years as the NCAA continues to do their thing with U of A. So I think Lloyd is a great choice to steer the program through that and to prepare them for the future.
I assume someone must know from someone at the NCAA for this guy to come in and sign a five-year deal that the sanctions coming from the NCAA, if they're coming, aren't that onerous, is what I'm thinking. I feel like maybe another year of pain and then kind of move on. Does that sound intuitive to you?
I can't imagine Arizona would get more than another one-year postseason ban if they get one at all.
Yep.
And in terms of the contract length, if you're bringing someone into U of A and you know that the NCAA has more sanctions coming, you want to give them a longer contract because they're going to want that security, knowing that they're going to have to coach through at least another year or a couple of years of NCAA sanctions in the first place, which makes it hard to succeed. So any coach you're bringing in is going to require a long-term contract at U of A right now just in order to get them to take the job in the first place. But this is good for Lloyd. It's good for U of A because you know what to expect for the next few years. It gives them time to rebuild a little bit and to allow Lloyd to establish his culture and his direction with the program and see what he can do as a coach in Tucson.
Now, remember, as of last week, I banned all talk of Major League Baseball.
Of course, yeah.
But I did the one MLB I did want to talk about is Congressman Duncan and Senator Mike Lee out of the great state of Utah filed legislation on Wednesday seeking to end the MLB's antitrust exemption.
Yep. So Major League Baseball has been enjoying this antitrust exemption for nearly a century. And so Mike Lee has decided to go against Major League Baseball for protesting the Georgia law for moving the All-Star game to Colorado. Now, Major League Baseball's antitrust exemption is what allows it to pay all its minor league players well below minimum wage. It's what allows them to pay new players in Major League Baseball well below what they're worth because they have to go through arbitration. They can't get a market value contract until they have what amounts to 7 years of total baseball service time. So if baseball loses this antitrust exemption, which honestly, there's not really a good explanation for why baseball has this antitrust exemption in the first place. If baseball loses this, then their entire business model is going to have to change. And it can very well bankrupt a couple of teams with owners who don't have as much money. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out because this antitrust exemption is foundational to baseball's entire business structure. They can't afford to lose it. They don't want to lose it. And it would turn into a massive legal battle if they do. So if this can actually go through, it'd be a really fascinating story. It could completely reshape the way baseball works, the way it pays its players, and how the entire balance of power is shifted in baseball. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. I'm kind of excited. I hope it goes through.
I do too. Let's talk about NFL drafts coming up. What, in another couple week or two?
2 weeks. I'm super excited.
So what are we talking about in relation? Who has the top pick? Who do we think is going there? And what are a couple of their highlights in the top 10?
All right, so I can break down the entire top 10 for you right now. The number one pick is the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's going to be Trevor Lawrence, Clemson quarterback. He is the best quarterback prospect we've seen since Andrew Luck, for sure. Some people are comparing him to John Elway as a prospect. He's going number one, no questions asked. Number two is the New York Jets.
Does Trevor Lawrence really have a John Elway arm?
Yes.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence is John Elway, but a little more mobile, essentially.
Gotcha.
He's got a great arm. He's played in top-level competition in college. He's going to From what I can tell, he's going to be great, and most NFL and media personnel agree with that.
Gotcha.
Number two is another interesting pick. That's the New York Jets. They just traded Sam Darnold, their quarterback, so they are for sure taking a quarterback. Most people expect that to be Zach Wilson out of BYU. It's either going to be him or Justin Fields, Ohio State's quarterback, but most reports listed as Wilson right now. He's got a great arm. He only had one really good season at BYU, and it wasn't against very high-level competition, so that's one concern with Wilson. The other is that he's going to play for the Jets, and the Jets have been a mess and haven't had a good quarterback in 50 years.
I love the BYU kid going to the Big Apple. That sounds like a sitcom.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll see how he handles that and all the media scrutiny that comes with playing for the Jets.
I guess
playing for a team with no talent.
Maybe I'm speaking out of turn here. I usually do. If we're dropping down the second and Zach Wilson is your second best quarterback in the draft, are we going to say this is not the greatest quarterback draft in the last few years?
So actually, this is considered one of the best quarterback drafts of the last few years. Yeah, there's probably going to be at least five quarterbacks that go in the first round, and we could.
But are they good? it doesn't mean what the need is.
Lawrence is great. I think Justin Fields at Ohio State is the second best quarterback in the draft, and he's going to be really good as well. Zach Wilson is right there with Justin Fields. He's a very good quarterback, great arm, can make all the throws you need. And then the other quarterbacks, you have Trey Lance. He's coming out of North Dakota State, and he's probably going to be a top 10 pick. And then the last one is the wild card. That's Mac Jones. He's Alabama's starting quarterback, just won the national championship. Most draft analysts saw him as a mid-first-round draft pick, but the 49ers just traded up from number 12 to number 3 in the draft, and most reports say that that's because they want Mac Jones as their quarterback. So realistically, the way the draft is going to play out, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence at 1, Zach Wilson at 2, and then Mac Jones at 3, and then we'll probably have Justin Fields and Trey Lance go somewhere in the top 10. So we're going to have a lot of quarterbacks. I would guess that I think that Wilson, Lawrence, and Fields all have the chance to be elite and very good chances. Wilson less so if he goes to the Jets because it's the Jets. But then Lance and Jones have a lot of potential as well. So we're going to see a lot of quarterbacks go in the top 10. It's going to be really interesting to see where the last two especially land because it looks like we know where the first three are going to go.
Tell me about come back to me now. Tell me about the Cardinals. Sorry. What's going on with the Cardinals this round, in the first round?
The Cardinals have the 16th draft pick, and you would expect that the Cardinals are going to go and beef up their defense. Specifically, I like them to go at cornerback. They did just sign Malcolm Butler in the offseason, but he's not the same player he was when he was getting interceptions to win the Super Bowl. And they also lost Patrick Peterson this offseason, so they really need cornerback help. If they don't go there, I see them going either with defensive line help to put someone opposite Chandler Jones to rush the passer, or they could potentially get more wide receiver help for Kyler Murray, just continue to beef up that offense, get Kyler Murray as many stars as possible. But as of right now, I think I would lean towards going cornerback for the Cardinals.
Okay. Well, sir, thanks for the good work as always, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. I love talking about the draft. I am very excited for that. It's one of the best days of the year.
What exciting thing are you going to do with your blushing bride this weekend? What are you guys going to do?
Well, she is going to a bridal shower and a baby shower, and I am going to University of Utah spring football game. So two very different things for us.
I know. Is it two different things, the bridal shower and the baby shower?
They are two different things.
Okay, so
yeah.
Make sure.
Thankfully.
All right, sir.
Don't worry.
You have an amazing day, my friend.
You too, Chris. Thanks.
All right. If you want to bring your Jethro Tull calls back, bring them. I'll ask Schweikert, Tull or not. I have it on my Facebook page. I have a picture of Ian Anderson playing the flute, and it says, Jethro Tull, trash or treasure. Wake up, Tucson. Now I have David St. Hubbins in my head.
You're welcome.
Stonehenge was in danger of being crushed by a dwarf. Little person. All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Christy, Simone, and you. I do have it up on my Facebook page right now. Jethro Tull, treasure or trash? Listener Peter already did the John Cleese gif of him in Life of Brian in the stoning scene. Jehovah, that screaming the word blasphemer. Listener John, locomotive breath is about it for me. That's all he's got. Then he's done. Listener Ken, who's a huge Yes guy, he goes, he likes, but their contribution to prog rock should not go unnoticed. All right. And then Hitch, who's out in the parking lot making this place look beautiful. I like the first couple of albums before Thick as a Brick, my Sunday feeling. All right. Put this blasphemer on. Umpire John calling up from the deep forests where they have a couple of Renaissance fairs going up in the woods of Flagstaff.
Well, yes, we do. But I'm reminded of you every day when I see the BNSF locomotive going through town, Mr. Locomotive Brett. I was in high school in '71 when Aqualung came out, and I had a avant-garde kind of friend who got me turned on to a couple of the. He had the albums before that, like Benefit.
Okay, when you say avant-garde, does that mean heavy drug user?
This was no comment. This is the early '70s.
It's like when Lucy said we're going to reimagine police. That meant defund police. When you say avant-garde friend, that means smokes pot nine times a day.
Well, he also had all the Pink Floyd stuff, but you know, the Umagummas and the Adam Hart Mothers and all
sure.
the early albums.
Absolutely.
And I had all the early Uriah Heep. So no, it's good. And if you think about the lyrics that go with that and thick as a brick and locomotive breath and Aqualung, what a perfect descriptor of Tucson.
All right, John, I got to get one more of these toll freaks
Bye.
In. Have a great weekend, buddy. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Pat up in Marana. Pat, welcome to Tell Talk.
Welcome. Thank you very much. Hey, listen, back in 1996, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer opened up for Jethro Tull up in Phoenix, at Desert View or Desert Sky.
Desert Sky Pavilion.
Yeah, I was there. And I went there to see Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, as you all know, probably.
God bless you.
And, but after about four or five songs, I left after Jethro Tull got on there. I couldn't do the songs from the woods and the Minstrel in the Gallery and all that. His two best songs is Locomotive Breath and Aqualung. After that, I'm done.
Yeah, it's tough to watch Carl Palmer and Keith Emerson do their thing and then watch these guys play after that. Sorry.
No, it doesn't work. I thought so. Don't be sorry.
Pat, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
See you, man.
Have a good day. Bye. All right, we come back. Congressman Schweikert's coming up next. First question, Jethro Tull, treasure. I told Tommy, this is like Napoleon Dynamite. Either you dig this thing or you don't dig it. This is what happens when Greg and Kim asked me last week, hey, what's your problem with Tull? I don't have a problem with it. I just never got into it. That's my thing. So you guys are helping me understand it, I think. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice.